Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. The Bible says, "And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." So the title of our message this morning is Complete in Him. Complete in Him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, it's a blessing to be here. We thank You for this privilege and pray You'll use the Word of God in our hearts to teach us, to grow us, to meet our needs, whatever. Lord, You have the power to do these things. We yield to You. And we pray You'll be glorified in this service. And we pray, Lord, that we will leave and say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Thy will be done in every heart. Guide us in Your truth. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. As we look at this passage together this morning, the Bible says that we have a lot of wonderful things in Jesus Christ. And that's kind of been the theme of our Ephesians study on Wednesday nights. But this particular passage shows us some of the beautiful things that we have in Jesus Christ. And one of the things we read about here in Colossians chapter 2, the Bible says we are complete in Him. That's one of the things about Christianity that's different from so many religions of the world, is when we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we get it all that day. Now, we spend the rest of our Christian life learning what happened to that day. We spend the rest of our Christian lives growing and serving Jesus Christ and becoming more like Jesus, but we receive everything when we receive Christ. We are immediately complete in Him. You know, some of the things that we looked at in Ephesians that kind of emphasize this, go back to Ephesians over the two books to the left, in chapter 1, if you would, and I'll just remind you of some of the things that we looked at on Wednesday nights, but notice in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 4, the Bible says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him." So one of the things that He's done is He's chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So we're holy and without blame in Him. Then in verse 5, "having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself." So we're adopted in Him. And then in verse 6 it says, "to the praise of His glory, of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." So we're accepted in Him. You know, most of the religions of the world teach that you have to do a bunch of stuff to earn the favor of God, to maybe earn heaven. But that isn't God's way. God's way is that there's nothing we can do to earn God's favor because we're sinners. But Jesus Christ paid for that sin and offers us eternal life and everything through Him. And when we accept Him, we become accepted. We become 100% righteous, justified. We become part of Jesus. And we are complete in Him. We're very blessed to have all these things in Jesus Christ when we're born again. So back to our passage in Colossians. The Bible says that we are complete in Him in chapter 2, verse 10. The Bible says in verse 11, "in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." When we get saved, we go from being dead to being dead. Interesting, isn't it? And we go from being alive to being alive. So what are you talking about? Well, before we're saved, The Bible says we are dead in trespasses and sins. We are spiritually dead. Our spirits, we're born dead. Now we have a soul, we are a person, we have a body, but our spirit is dead. Our body, however, is quite alive and giving us a lot of trouble, leading us astray. Now, after we get saved, the Bible says that our flesh is crucified and is now dead. But our spirit has been given life in Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're quickened by Him. And so we go from being dead spiritually to being alive spiritually, but our body goes from being alive to being dead and crucified. Now, unfortunately, that dead body still gives us some trouble after we're saved, but it's dead. And you know, Paul talked about that. He said, I'm crucified with Christ in Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And he says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What Paul is saying is now I live, my spirit lives, I live for my spirit, I live, let God live through me. The flesh is dead and I'm trying to ignore it. It keeps rearing its ugly head and giving me trouble, but it's crucified. And so all of that happens at salvation. Now Romans 6:13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of righteousness unto unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. That's us. And so we've put off the body of the sins of the flesh. We've put on Jesus Christ. We are complete in Him. And then back to our passage, verse 12, it says, buried with Him in baptism. So not only are we complete in Christ, but we are buried with Christ. Now when people see that word baptism, they often think of water. Sometimes it does involve water. But this is not what this is talking about. This is talking about what happens when we're born again. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. When we're born again, we are placed into Christ. We are baptized into Jesus Christ. And when He was buried, we were buried with Him. And when He rose again, we rose again with Him. But we are buried with Christ. Look, if you would, over at Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Where again, we're reminded that we have been baptized into Jesus at salvation, which includes being baptized into His death. Notice Romans 6:3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. We are buried with Him. Now, we had a lady come to the church and she was a Presbyterian. But she was born again. And it took her 3 years to get baptized. And it was this verse that finally convinced her that baptism is supposed to be by immersion. The fact that we are buried with Christ and we are baptized into His death. That's what the baptism pictures. It's underneath here, by the way. It's a special thing that if my preaching gets too long, it... they just remove me. But I don't think that'll happen. But it took her 3 years because she had read all these verses that, you know, that they used to teach you baptize babies and you baptize by sprinkling and all this. But it finally just sunk in one day. Wait a minute. The Bible says that I'm baptized into His death and I'm buried with Him in baptism. But when you bury somebody, you put them in the ground. That's why baptism is by immersion, because it pictures the burial of Jesus Christ. And when we're saved, we are buried with Him. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ was buried, we were buried with Him, those of us that are born again. Isn't that amazing how God works? Because remember, time means nothing to God. And when they put Christ in that tomb, they put us in that tomb. But go back to our passage. this is the exciting part. It says, wherein also ye are risen with Him. Again, baptism, water baptism, just a symbol, but it pictures the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we were born again, we are complete in Christ. We were buried with Christ, but we were risen with Christ. That's why we can confidently say we have everlasting life. Because Christ was risen from the dead to a new life, we were risen from the dead to a new life when we accepted Christ, because we became part of Him. We were risen with Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, please, in verse 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, just back two books. The Bible says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now remember, I said earlier that we're in Christ. Well, where's Christ right now? Physically, He's in heaven, interceding for us, the Bible says. That's why it says here in Ephesians 2:6, we are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, it might be hard to get your head around this, but you are in heaven right now if you're saved. Well, no, I'm not. I'm sitting right here. Let me tell you, in God's mind's eye, because time means nothing to God, you're in Christ, and Christ is in heaven, so we are in heaven right now. It's a done deal. And by the way, the devil can't change that. We're in Christ. We can't be pulled back out. And so we are not only complete and buried, but we are risen with Him to the point that we're even already in heaven. But it should affect us to realize, go to Colossians chapter 3 now, if you would. Colossians chapter 3, that if we are risen with Christ, we should be living a new life as believers. And notice Colossians 3:1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. God says if you're risen with Christ, if you're born again, if you're in Jesus, and you're risen with Him, then live like it. Seek those things which are above. Live for heaven, not earth. Now we still have to work jobs, and we still have to eat, and we still have to live. But our focus needs to be on our final destination. And actually our doctrinal current destination, heaven. We need to live for that. So praise God, we are complete in Jesus Christ. We're buried with Christ, and we are risen with Christ. And go back to our verse, the passage, Colossians 2:13, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him." We're complete and buried and risen, but we're quickened with Him. Now that word quickened means to be given life. If you've ever jammed something up in your fingernail and what they call the quick, you realize real fast, that's alive, isn't it? Because it hurts. It's called the quick because it's the life. Quickened means given life. And we have been given life with Christ. You know, that's why the Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life," in 1 John 5:12, "and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Whether or not we go to heaven has nothing to do with what religion we are, what church we go to, how many times we've been baptized, how many Sunday school classes we've taught. It only has to do with one thing. Do we have Christ? "He that hath the Son hath life." God is life. We're dead. Our only hope of seeing heaven is if we have life. And life only comes from the Lord. So we have to be born again. We have to have life. And that's what the Bible says. We are quickened together with Him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature." That's us. We're a new creature. We're quickened with Jesus Christ. We've been given new life. And we have, you know, the Bible says 1 Corinthians 15:22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." we've been given life in Jesus Christ. That's why yesterday we could confidently say, Gloria was with Jesus. Because Jesus said, He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. When He went to Lazarus' tomb to raise him from the dead, that's what He told Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Gloria did not die. She just changed locations. From one that was kind of beat up and not working too well to a perfect one. That's what we get in Jesus Christ. We get life. Eternal life. Praise the Lord. And then look at our passage, Colossians 2:13. Having forgiven you, how many? All trespasses. I love that verse. If you have permission from yourself to write in your Bible, it wouldn't hurt to circle that word all. Some people don't like to write in their Bibles. All trespasses. It amazes me how many people think that you can lose your salvation. How do they get around this verse? If the day we got saved, we were forgiven all trespasses, then which trespass is going to cause you to lose your salvation? Obviously, one that wasn't forgiven. But wait a minute, it says all trespasses. When we were saved in Jesus Christ, we were forgiven all trespasses. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath removed He hath removed our transgressions from us. In Psalm 103:12. Micah 7:19 says, He will have compassion, He will subdue our iniquities, and thou hast cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Isaiah 38:17 says, For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Folks, our sins are gone. If you're born again, they're gone. God has forgiven you all trespasses in Jesus Christ. Look at all that we have in Him. We're complete, we're buried, we're risen, we've been given life, and we've been forgiven all trespasses. And then look at verse 14. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Now, we don't have time to go into all of it this morning, but the law was nailed to the cross. I've heard people say, oh, but we still have to keep the law. We don't. Now, we have to keep Jesus' law. But we are not bound to keep Old Testament law. It's been nailed to the cross. And what I want to say here is we're free from the law. The Bible tells us here, He took it out of the way and nailed it to the cross. We are completely free of condemnation in Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. The Bible, notice it says here, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. We have been made free from the law. The law was written to be our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. The law was written to show us that we can't measure up. The Ten Commandments were not written to get us to heaven. They were written to show us we can't get to heaven without help, because none of us can keep them. And just to drive it home, when Jesus came on the scene, He said, oh, I know the Bible says don't kill, but if you hate your brother in your heart, you've committed murder in your heart. You broke that one. And then He went on to say, well, maybe none of you have ever committed adultery, but if a man looks on a woman and lusts after her in his heart, he hath committed adultery already in his heart. He broke that one. And He went on and on to explain, we break them. We have failed. And that was the purpose of the law, to show that we can't do it, that we are sinners, and that we don't measure up to God's holiness, Christ came to say, you need supernatural help. You need my salvation. You need my forgiveness. And we have been made free from the law in Christ Jesus. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. We've been freed from the law in Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say in Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The victory of the cross of Jesus Christ. We should be excited this morning of what we have because of Jesus. That we are complete in Him. That we are buried with Him. That we are risen with Him. That we have been quickened by Him. And that we have been forgiven all trespasses in Him. And we are free in Him. Why would somebody not want to get saved? Think about it. God does all this for us, and we didn't earn any of it, and we can't earn any of it. We don't deserve it. God just offers it to us, the gift of eternal life, if we'll just repent and ask for it. And it just amazed me how many people say, oh, I can't do that. Oh, it's too easy, or oh, I'd have to change my life, or whatever. Also, you'd rather go to hell than accept God's gift. It doesn't make any sense. But those of us that are saved, praise God, we should just be rejoicing every day at all that God has done for us and all that God has given to us through Jesus Christ. We're very blessed to be complete in Him. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your